open your Bibles to James chapter 1, and then put a marker at Genesis chapter 1, and we'll flip over there. We're going to begin a new series today called My Best Friend, the Father. Now, we've been talking about my best friend for quite a while, but we went for several weeks on the Holy Spirit, then for several weeks on the Son, and now we're going to spend a few weeks talking about the Father. And the title of the first message is, The Father is Good. The Father is Good. Now, most of you know, I used to be an associate pastor at another church, and years and years ago, this is probably in the late 80s maybe, we would have on Sunday night, we would gather in the sanctuary, we'd have a little bit of worship and a short message, and then we would go to classes. We had our equipping classes on Sunday nights. And we got to thinking about raising up the next generation of preachers. And so what we started doing on Sunday nights was we would let one of the young preachers in the congregation preach a 13-minute message. Not 30 minutes, but 13 minutes. And these were some of the best sermons, you know, that we ever heard, really. And one of them, I'll never forget, this young guy, probably in his early 20s, got up, and this is what he said. He said, God is good. And then he just stood there for a moment. And then he said, God is big. And then he paused, and then he said, I sure am glad that God showed me that he was good before he showed me that he was big, because he's really big. Well, God is really big, but he is also really good. And we'll get to James 1 in a minute. Psalm 119, verse 68 says, you are good and do good. You are good and do good. This is one of the attributes of God. An attribute literally comes from the words a tribute. A tribute. In other words, a tribute is something that you give someone that he is due, that belongs to him. So when we talk about the attributes of God, we're literally talking about the characteristics of God that belong to him, that are specific to him. And his number one attribute, I believe, that all of the other attributes come out of is his goodness. And I'm going to show you why I believe that in a moment. Although all of his attributes work together. So let me tell you three things about the Father being good. Here's number one. The Father is completely good. The Father is completely good. Now, I know that sounds a little bit strange to say that, but here's what I want you to understand. God is not partially good because God is not partially anything. Whatever he is fully. He is the complete picture of it. He is the completeness of it. He is whatever we're talking about, he is that in its entirety. Even everything he created that's good can't compare to him because he is goodness. He doesn't just have goodness, he is goodness. Now, we'll get to James 1 in a moment, but Moses is having a conversation with God in Exodus, and he asked God a question. He said, God, please show me your glory. Now, let me explain to you what glory is. And I think I've told you this before, but we need to understand this. A very modern, easy way to understand glory is famous. In other words, here's what he said. What are you famous for? What are you known for? That's what you get glory for. If I said to you, there are some people that are famous for something. And let me ask you, and you can tell me. What is Tiger Woods famous for? Golf, right? That's what he gets glory from that because he is so good at that. What is Michael Jordan famous for? Basketball, correct. Okay, so here's what Moses is asking God. What are you famous for? What are you better at than anyone else? What? Show me your glory. And here's how God responds. Exodus 33, verse 18. And he said, please show me your glory. Then he, this is God, said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. In other words, he said, show me what you are better at than anyone else. What are you famous for, God? What are you known for? And God said, oh, I'm known for my goodness. And here's the next chapter. This is when he actually did it, when he actually passed by him and showed him his goodness. Exodus 34, verse 6. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, so God's talking now while he's passing by, the Lord God, merciful. These are some of his attributes. Merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding, that's more than enough, in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Now, why is God gracious? Why is he merciful? Why is he long-suffering? Why does he forgive iniquity, transgression, and sin? Why? Because he's good. Because he's good. Because he's abounding in goodness. Now, there are many attributes of God, and we're going to cover some of these over the next few weeks. But let me just show you how all of these attributes tie in with his goodness and to understand it, because God is all one package, all tied together. God is infinite. That's one of his attributes. He's infinite. Now, infinite means without bounds, without limits. It goes on forever and ever. You know, that's God. God has no bounds, God has no limits, and God cannot be measured. That's what it means, infinite, cannot be measured. The sun is bright, but it is not infinitely bright, because the sun's brightness can be measured. But God's goodness cannot be measured. So we're talking about that God is good, and I'm telling you he's also infinite. You know what that means? He's infinitely good. In other words, you can't measure his goodness, and his goodness has no bounds and no limits. Let me tell you another attribute of God. He's omnipotent. That means he has all power. You know what that tells me? God would never want to do something good and not have the power to do it. In other words, his goodness will never be limited by his power. See, all of these attributes work together to make up God. God is just. That means his goodness is impartial. God is omnipresent. That means his goodness is everywhere. God is immutable. That means he can't change. That means his goodness can't change. In other words, God will never be bad. He can't be bad because he's good. He cannot be bad because he's immutable. He can't change, and we know God's good, so God can't change. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me tell you something else about God, how good he is. He is so good. He is so good, he cannot get gooder. He's just good. He's good. We need to understand this, because do you realize there is a war going on so that we will not believe that God is good? And here's what happens. Satan says, well, if God is good, what about this? If God is good, what about this? And he points to things. But do you want me to expose what he's actually doing? Listen to what Satan's actually doing. Listen, he actually points to his own work as evidence that God is not good. See, people say, well, look at the world God created. Whoa, wait a minute. No, God created a perfect world and put us in charge. So look at what we did when we invited Satan into God's world and when we let Satan have free reign. See, Satan brought sin and sickness and disease and death into this world, and Satan then points to those things and says, look, God's not good. I'm telling you, he's a liar. God's good. This is exactly what he said to Eve. It's the same first lie. Here's what he said to Eve. God's not good. God's not good. He's holding out on you. He's holding out on you. There is a warfare and a battle, and everything that is good comes from God, because God is good. If there is something in this world that's good, God created it. God created banana pudding. Because it's good. God is completely good. The Father is completely good. Here's number two. We were created because the Father is good. We were created because the Father is good. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about this. Why were we created? All right, let me show you James 1 now. James 1, look at verse 17. Every good gift, and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from, look at these next two words, the Father. Comes from the Father. I'm telling you, the Father's good. From the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. That means he's immutable. He can't change. Now watch verse 18. Of his own will, watch this, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. All right, here's in essence what James 1, 17, 18 says. God is good, and that's why we were created. That's what it's saying. God is good, and because he's good, we were created. Now, let me ask you again, why were we created? Well, the answer is God is good. But here's another way to ask it. Did we deserve to be created? Did we do anything to deserve to be created? Well, think about this. How could nothing deserve something? We weren't even created. How could we deserve something before we were even created, before we even existed? So we didn't do anything to be created. So if you go all the way back to creation, the whole reason we were created is God is good. Here's another question. We said, why were we created? God is good is the answer. Here's another question. Why were we not destroyed after we sinned? God is good. Here's another good question. Why does God continue to forgive me when I do the same sin over and over again and swear to him I'll never do it again? And I still do it again. You know what the answer is? God is good. God is good. Here's a good question. Why did God bleed for me? Because God is good. That's why. Now, go back to Genesis 1. And this is the story of creation. And I know we've read this many times, and we know what I'm about to say, but I want us to see it under this package. In everything God created, he was looking for something. Maybe you've never thought about it this way, but everything he created, he looked at it, afterwards to see if it had one quality about it in everything he created. Watch, Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw. In other words, God looked to see and saw the light that it was good. Verse 10. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Verse 12, and the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, the tree that yields fruit whose seed is in itself according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Verse 17, God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night. This is talking about the sun, the moon, and the stars. And to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Verse 21, so God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded according to their kind and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 25, and God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 31, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. Isn't that amazing? We all know that, but to see it in this context, God, when he created everything that he created, he looked to see if everything he looked to see for one thing. It was good. You want to know why? Because it was a reflection of him. Because Romans 1 says, we can see God in the things he created. So God creates something and he stands back and says, is it good? Because when they look at that, when they look at the mountains, when they look at the oceans, when they look at the stars, I want them to see me, and there's one thing that I want every person to know about me. I'm good. I'm good. By the way, I don't know if you ever thought about this, but there was one thing that God said wasn't good. He looked down, he saw Adam before he created Eve, and he said, oh, that's not good for him to be alone by himself down there. I don't know what Adam was doing. He was playing with matches or running with scissors or something in the garden. He He was doing something that boys do. God said, oh, that's not good. We were created because God is good. But listen to me. Do you know God's goodness is displayed in his first creation, but it's displayed more in his second creation? You say, what's his second creation? Well, Romans 5 tells us that he created Adam in his image, and Adam sinned, so he created the second Adam as the first fruits, again, of many. You know what his second creation is? You. You're a new creation. In other words, when man fell, listen to this, when man fell from God's created goodness, God redeemed us so we would not fall from his infinite goodness. God is good. We were created because God is good. He loves us and he created us because he is good. Here's the third thing I want to tell you about the Father. We must choose the Father's goodness. We must choose the Father's goodness. Romans 11, 22 says, therefore consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fail, severity, but toward you, goodness. In other words, here's what he's saying. You get a choice. This word consider means to ponder, to make a choice, to consider the options and to choose one way or the other. So here's what he's saying. I want you to ponder. I want you to consider. I want you to look at both sides, and I want you to choose. Which one do you want? You want goodness or do you want severity? It's your choice. Do you know why we have a choice? Because we were created in the image of God. God has a will, so he made us with a will. He didn't want a bunch of robots down here. So he created people in his image, and because God has a will, we have a will. So he allows us then to make a choice. Here's the sad fact. Many people look at the evidence that Satan is supplying and choose the severity of God instead of choosing the goodness of God. And God created us for us to choose him. Look at this. Remember, God created us, and then we fell. Because of the fall, we are marred now. We are marred because of sin. Every one of us are marred. Every one of us have fallen and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. Now watch what Jesus says, trying to get us to understand how good God is. All right, watch this verse. Matthew 7, verse 11 says, if you then, being evil. Now, I don't know if you ever thought about this, but it's kind of encouraging. Jesus called us evil. Being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Here's what he's trying to say. You guys are messed up. You're messed up. And you know how to give good gifts. Do you not think that the Father, who is good and not messed up, knows how to give good gifts? Do you not understand this? See, let me show you again how tricky Satan is. Again, he points to his own work to try to prove that God's not good. That's just incredible. That's how unbelievable as a liar he is. And he's good at it too. But let me tell you something else that is a trick of Satan. He tries to get us to judge the goodness of God. Now I want you to think about that for a moment. We're finite. We're not infinite. We're finite. We don't know everything. And yet we judge an infinite, all-knowing, all-wise God. I'm telling you, it's a trap. And here's the reason it's so important. If you don't believe that God is good, you won't love him, you won't serve him, you won't follow him, you won't trust him. No matter what happens in the economy, no matter what happens with your body, no matter what happens in your family, you won't trust him, because Satan will say, ha-ha, there's proof. And God's not good. And I'm telling you, God's good. And he's got a good plan for your life, even if you don't see it fully yet. It's a lady named Amy Wilson Carmichael, who was a missionary to India for 55 years. 55 years. When she was a little girl, she had one prayer. Now, all of us have kind of mixed up prayers when we're kids, you know. But this was a very important prayer to her, and the reason was is all the little girls were had in her neighborhood had blue eyes, but she had brown eyes. And so she prayed for years when she was a little girl that God would change her brown eyes to blue. That's what her prayer was. And then as she got in her 20s, she began helping the poor and then felt the call to India. When she got over to India, she realized that many of the parents were actually selling their daughters to be temple prostitutes. Selling their daughters into slavery, sexual slavery, for the rest of their lives. And so she prayed about what she could do to help these girls out. And God gave her the idea of taking coffee grounds and dyeing her skin darker to appear as an Indian to go into these places and rescue these girls one by one. She got an orphanage going. People supported this. Over her 55 years, they rescued thousands, thousands of these girls. But she tells the story that one day, she's in front of the mirror, she's putting the coffee grounds on her skin to make her appear darker so that she could appear Indian. And as she was looking in the mirror, all of a sudden she realized, God, every Indian girl has brown eyes. You gave me these brown eyes so that I could do what I love to do, and that's help these girls. And here's what she said, God, you are so good. I'm telling you, the Father is good. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. What are you going through right now that Satan is trying to point to say to you, God's not good? What are you going through? Can we pray with you about it? We would love to pray with you. This is what we do every week. It's the joy of our lives. We take some time in worship. We sing to the Lord. We bless the Lord. We pray. We hear the word. And then we pray for one another. The reason that I'm saying that to you is whether you're at South Lake or North Richland Hills or in one of the overflow rooms, if you're going through a difficulty, and we all do, we want to pray for you. We want to pray for you. So in just a moment, we're going to stand. And when we stand, we're going to have leaders here at the front. And you just come to one of the leaders and listen to me. I'm telling you this so you'll understand. It's not embarrassing. It's really not. Because there'll be other people coming. And you don't have to be a member of Gateway Church to come for prayer. Maybe it's your first time here. Maybe you've been here for many years and you're even one of the leaders. But you're going through a difficulty. We all go through rough times, and we need prayer during those times. So if you're here and you need prayer for any area of your life, finances, health, family, whatever it is, we want to pray for you. But especially if you're here and you need to come back to God. A lot of people today need to come back to God. So if you need to come back to God, give Him full control of your life, you can come also during this time. And just let us pray for you and let us help you. So I'm going to pray. After I pray, we'll stand. When we stand up, whether you're at South Lake, North Richland Hills, or in one of the overflow rooms, we're going to have leaders here at the front. You just come to the front and let us pray for you, all right? Holy Spirit, I pray you'll draw every person that has any prayer need. In Jesus' name, amen.